Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is in Studio X. He is the Han Solo to my Chewbacca here on the show. He will he'll pilot the ship, and I'll just sit here and make noises. It's been working thus far. Why would we change a winning formula? We're brought to you by Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. VisitVicksburg.com is the website. Throughout the show, I'll be happy to tell you about some of the great things going on in my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi. If you want to join the conversation, it's easy to do so. It's the C Spire text line is available to you. 601-879-4395. Be happy to hear from you. Big news of this week, a first ever for the Southeastern Conference as they basically set up the schedule in such a way that we can talk about it. And, you know, it used to be, okay, you found out when your game was going to kick off 2 weeks before kickoff. Or I guess it was actually, you know, 12 days before kickoff. And that could be a strain. It could be a hassle. It could be, you know, for fans who, you know, it's so expensive to come to the games. It's so expensive to travel. And, you know, you can't find out until 12 days. I mean, sometimes it's tough to do that. The SEC, I'll give them full credit for doing something fan-friendly. And this is what I feel this is. What they've done is they've created windows. And so what you now know is an approximate time that your games are going to kick off. There's an early window, which basically means you're going to kick off between 11 a.m. and noon Central. And you're thinking, well, gosh, they've always just kicked off at 11. Now they got a lot more networks to play with now. So there's going to be some 11:30 kicks, some 11:45 kicks. So we'll see there. Then there's the afternoon, which again, 2:30 to 3:30. That used to always just be a 2:30 kick. Now they've got some wiggle room. State has one of those games, has a couple of those games. Night, 5 to 7. As we've pointed out on Sports Talk Mississippi, no more 8 p.m. kickoffs in central time zones. 5 to 7. And then you have the flex. And the flex is where it's a little interesting. That means it can kick off anywhere from 2:30 to 7. So what it does mean, if you have a flex game, that's not going to be an early game. So that's good. So when you look at state schedule, here's how it plays out. We knew the first 3 weeks as it was, and we knew the ending. Eastern Kentucky, 5 o'clock Central Time here in Starkville. That game will be on ESPN Plus, so it's already streaming. So if you're out there and you're listening, and you have a grandfather or something in your life, doesn't understand streaming, just invite him over that night. If you're not coming to the game, just invite Grandpa over and be like, we're going to watch the game here at my house. And that way you don't have to go through the whole, I can't find it on my TV. You don't have to go through all that. I say Grandpa, there's a lot of people my age that have that problem. ESPN for Arizona State. Now that is since that is not kicking off in the Central Time Zone, that's a West Coast game. That's a 9:30 p.m. kick. Very late. Gonna be a long night. We'll just have to get through it. Toledo, 6:30 kickoff. So that's a nice evening kickoff for Mississippi State. ESPN2 or ESPNU. And then we get into the games that we didn't know about. It starts with Florida, Week 4. This is a really good opportunity for State. They should be 3-0 when they play Florida. I think Florida will have at least one loss on the docket and possibly two. 11 a.m. rolling out of College Game Day, ABC or ESPN. So a national audience, big audience there possibly. And if not, I mean, ESPN is still a big audience when you play the Gators. Afternoon kick at Texas, so that means that game will kick in the 2:30 to 3:30 window. That's Texas's first ever SEC game. That will likely be a 2:30 kick. That could very easily be on the ABC as they try to highlight Texas getting their first ever SEC game. That's just what I'm thinking. Open date, and then Georgia. At Georgia is a flex game. So it depends on the rest of the schedule. It depends on what happens. I mean, if State's 4-1, Georgia will have played Alabama at that point. So if they're undefeated, they'll be the number one team in the nation. Could be a night game there in Athens, but regardless, you know it's not an early game. So if you're planning to travel to Georgia, you know that, hey, maybe you don't have to get up for, you know, and stay Friday night. Maybe you can get up early Saturday morning and make the trip over and save yourself a hotel room. So again, I think it's fan-friendly. Home game against Texas A&M is a flex game. So we know that's going to be between 2:30 and 7. Not bad. Not bad. Now, we'll get to the possible problem a little later. UMass, that's homecoming. We know that that's going to be a 3:15 p.m. kickoff on the SEC Network. So that's an afternoon window game. Again, 3:15 is a new time, but we're going to have to deal with that. At Tennessee is a night game on November the 9th. You have your open date on the 16th. Missouri is slotted for the afternoon. What's the word I'm looking for? Window. So that game will kick between 2:30 and 3:30. And then, of course, you have the Egg Bowl on Black Friday, 2:30 p.m. kick for that one in Oxford. So what does this mean? It does mean that Mississippi State will, at best, have one night game on the schedule for the season in terms of SEC games. Texas A&M. Missouri is in the afternoon window. Florida and Arkansas are in the early windows. Shouldn't be overly surprising. Shouldn't be overly surprising to see that. State was not a good football team last year. They don't have a lot of national interest. They don't have a lot of superstars on their team. So they weren't going to get a lot of the primetime kickoffs. That's understandable. But I would counter and tell you that only having two 11 a.m. kickoffs all year is really good for Mississippi State. Now, they are big games, but I think Mississippi State fans, and I think college football fans in general, maybe I should just say SEC fans, because Big Ten fans have been coming to big games starting at noon, starting at 11 a.m. for a long time. But the whole, you know, the night game is the most important game. Not anymore. ESPN is putting big games in that 11 o'clock window because they want the ratings from College Game Day to just roll right into the football game. And so, you know, you've got to get over this mindset of, oh, no, we don't have a night kickoff. It's got to be, I've got to get to the stadium. Now, I'm not going to be on here. I'm not going to come on here and lecture you. If you can't afford to get to the stadium, if you don't want to go, I don't have a problem with that. That's fine. But don't be the guy who's like, I have tickets, but because it's 11 a.m., I don't want to go. Don't be that guy. Because, I mean, the 11 a.m. kickoff offers you the opportunity to make this a day trip. You don't even have to spend money on the hotel. You can, if you live in Mississippi, you can get up 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, drive to Starkville, watch the game, and be home before the primetime games even start. I think that's a great setup. Or if you're going to be tailgate, if you want to go to stay in Starkville, you know, you got the whole rest of the day to yourself. As a sports writer, as a media guy, I love it. Game I'm going to cover is over with early. You know, but obviously I'm selfish on that. And same thing with the Egg Bowl. I think by and large, State did okay on this. You know, I think that by and large, I mean, especially when you think about the non-conference games, you're playing Eastern Kentucky, Toledo, and UMass in Starkville, and none of those are 11 a.m. games. That's a big win. That's a big win. The atmosphere for Florida will be great, especially if State's 3-0. It'll be fine. It'll be good for Arkansas as well, because that's a game State's probably going to have a great chance to win. So those atmospheres, I'm not overly worried about it. I'm not overly plussed, as they say. To not have to play Eastern Kentucky at 11 a.m. on August the 31st is a huge win. To not have to play Toledo at 11 a.m. on the 14th of September, big win. UMass 3:15 means you're done right when right after the sun goes down. Should be fine. And you got a 2:30 kickoff for Ole Miss. Ole Miss kind of got the same deal. Ole Miss only has one chance to have a game at night. Now it's the Georgia game. And that will probably end up being at night because it should be a highly ranked game. But they have a lot of early kickoffs as well. Their game against Oklahoma is an 11 a.m. kickoff. I'm very surprised by that. That should be too, you know, I don't know what Oklahoma is going to be this year, but Bubba Starkville, 11 a.m. game atmosphere sucks. that it sucks because people want it to suck. It doesn't suck because of the game. I was at the Texas A&M game in 2014. That's one of the best game atmospheres the state's ever had. You gotta want to show up and be part of the game. You know, most of us who go to these games, we're a little old to be staying out all night drinking. And the ones who are young enough to stay out all night drinking, they can make it. They'll be all right. They'll crash on Sunday. They'll be fine. You got to get past this idea that 11 a.m. is this problem. This is the way of college football now. We're not getting all these 6 and 7 kickoffs, especially when you don't have a great team. You got to make the atmosphere what it is. The fans make it. It's not the time of the game. So, we'll talk a little bit more football when we come back. I got a question for you guys, and we'll deal with it when we come back. But there's been a lot of griping about one thing in particular. I want to find out why. I want to see if we can find out why. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. We're brought to you by Visit Vicksburg. Tomorrow night in Vicksburg, it's downtown date night at River Haven. So you go by River Haven at 1208 Washington Street between 5:30 and 7:30. You can drop your kids off at 5:30 and pick them up at 7:30. Go out and have a nice dinner on the town with your wife, your girlfriend, whoever. Just bring them a dinner, non-microwavable. So in other words, you know what it means. Pick up some McDonald's. That's what it means. And River Haven will take care of the rest. There'll be crafts and story time. It's $25 a child, $20 for their siblings. That's not a bad price for a babysitter nowadays for two hours. That's a reasonable price. So if you want to have a date night tomorrow, want to let the kids have a little fun, check out Downtown Date Night at River Haven. For more information, call 601-456-0462. I got a question. And I've been thinking about it for the past couple of days. Saw it on a message board, and it really got me thinking. Every time I talk to Mississippi State fans this offseason, every time I've talked to somebody, I always get the same thing. It's, you know, but the defense. The defense. Defense, defense, defense. And I understand, you know, Mississippi State has had a fine tradition of good defense over the last couple of decades, and, you know, their best teams have kind of been built around the defense, and State's put up a lot of great pros into the league. From the defensive side of the ball. But here's my question. Who cares? Why do we care so much about the defense? If State's winning games 38-35, do you really care that they gave up 35 points? Really gave up care they gave up 500 yards? No, the answer to that question is no, you do not. I would have to keep making this comparison until I'm blue in the face, I guess. But when we go back and look at Ole Miss in 2020, in the first year of Kiffin with Jeff Lebby as offensive coordinator, I'm not making fun of Ole Miss when I say that was the worst defensive team in the country. That's statistically what they were. And yet, they were 4-5 in 9 SEC games and then beat a Power 5 Big Ten team in the bowl game to go 5-5. So if you played the regular season schedule, where they played 4 non-conference games and 8 conference games, they would have probably been an 8-4 team. And as you recall, they added Florida to their SEC schedule. They were not scheduled to play Florida in 2020. So they may have even been a 9-3 team. And that was because they could outscore anybody. That team scored 35, 42, 48, 21, 28, 54, 59, 31, 48, 26. But they gave up 51, 41, 63, 33, 35, 21, 42, 24, 53, and 20. They averaged 39 points per game, but they gave up 38 points per game. But, and if you're listening out there and you're an Ole Miss fan, and I know that some of you are from excited Ole Miss fans were, and they should have been, and they were right to be, and it's panned out for them. Dwight says that this state offense will be nowhere near as good as that 2020 Ole Miss offense. Dwight, if I had told you in 2019, or the January of 2020, when Kiffin just first took over, that you were going to average 39 points per game, what he was? Now, I'm not saying that Shapen can be Matt Corral, and I'm not saying that State's got a guy who's going to catch 80-plus passes on the roster this year, but they're going to be much, much better offensively this season. And that's going to be enough to win some games and to put them back into a bowl game. So who cares? Do I really care? All I care about at the end of the day is whether or not this team wins. That's all you care about. I don't care what the final score is. You know, last year they beat Arkansas 7-3, and as awful a game as that was to watch, they won. And I remember coming out of that game going, okay, maybe they can figure some things out, and they got Auburn and Kentucky these next couple weeks who aren't great, and they can win a couple of them. They didn't do that. I know they didn't do that. But that was the thought process when you come out of a win. The offense is going to improve. Are they going to average 39 points per game? I don't think so. But I will say this, and I want to point it out again, that Ole Miss offense averaged 39 points per game against 10 Power 5 opponents. State only is playing 9 this year. They have games against Eastern Kentucky and Toledo and UMass that they should be able to pile up points in those games. So they're going to average 33, 34 a game, I would imagine. Levy's done that literally everywhere he's been. There's no reason to suspect that he won't. Unless you just want to suspect that he won't. Somebody asked us, you know, we do the rumblings every week on the podcast, and they asked, what is this team if they're a top 50 defense? I mean, if they're a top 50 defense, they're going to win 10 games. Now, I don't think they're going to be a top 50 defense, so let's just get that out there. But with what Levy has been able to do offensively at every stop in his career, a top 50 defense paired with that is probably... they would probably lose to Georgia and Texas, and that would be it. And I know that I know what I just said, but I would buy it. If you told me right now, don't tell me anything about the offense. That's a top 50 defense they're going to put out there. They're going 10-2. I'll just tell you, they might be in the college football playoff. They probably would be. So I don't think that's going to happen, though. I want to make that clear. But offensively, the turnaround in Oxford was immediate. That team in 2019 couldn't score on anybody. They were just not good. They had a big offensive game against LSU. I'm sorry, no, that was the year before, right? Where's LSU? Oh, yeah, it's LSU and Alabama. Two games where LSU and Alabama could score every possession. And so defensively, they didn't play their best. But they went from 319 points in 12 games. And again, that includes non-Power 5 games. They only scored 10 points on Memphis that year. They scored California. They played Cal. They only scored 20. They only scored 40 on Southeastern Louisiana. And you're like, well, 40 is still 40. Yeah, but when you say the next year they scored 48 on Alabama, it sort of puts that in perspective for you a little bit. In two less games, Ole Miss scored, let me do the math here, 74 more points. And again, on a tougher schedule. Do I think the offense will be top 20? That's what they would need to go 10-2 with a top 50 defense? No, that's not true at all, by the way. No. Top 50 defense, top 30 offense, they'd be 10-2. Do I think the offense will be top 20? No. But I think it's going to see a huge, huge turnaround. I do think that. And I think it'll be close to top 30, top 40. But unfortunately for the defense this year, I don't think it's going to be anywhere near the top 50. Brian, we're talking about Mississippi State. Too much Kool-Aid, bro. Why is there Kool-Aid? This is, I got to find out, is this person a State fan or an Ole Miss fan? I can't tell. Why is it Kool-Aid to say that Jeff Lebby, a guy who has improved offenses everywhere he's been, could do it at Mississippi? Why is that Kool-Aid? That's not Kool-Aid, that's common sense. If you say, if you're somebody who's like, oh, there's no way he can do it at Mississippi State, you're the one drinking Kool-Aid. You're the one who's bought into the idea that Mississippi State can't change. And that's just not true. I think y'all are just uncertain about Jeff Lebby, and I get that. I'm not uncertain about him at all. I think he's going to come in and immediately improve this offense, and by doing so, he'll improve the win total. There's no uncertainty on my part. If Mississippi State fans are uncertain, I don't know what to tell you. He will improve the offense, but that's a low, low bar. Again, I look at what they did year one at Ole Miss from the year before. That 2019 Ole Miss team was awful. They were just not good. They won four games. They beat a miserable Arkansas team, and then they beat a miserable Vanderbilt team, and they beat a FCS team, and they beat New Mexico State, which I guess Auburn would tell you is tough, but that's it. They lost to a bad State team that year, a bad Missouri team that year, a not great Cal team that year, and they lost to Memphis. I'm just saying the proof is in the pudding. The pudding is Jeff Lebby's track record. What are you looking at? I'm looking at what this guy has done at every stop. Why would I think it's not going to continue here in Starkville? I do think it's going to continue here in Starkville. I don't know. As long as Blake Shapen stays healthy, MSU will score points. I agree with that. Now, if he goes down, they're in trouble. But that's true about 98% of the teams in college football. Jackson Dart goes down, Ole Miss is in trouble. Jalen Milroe goes down, they're in trouble at Alabama. So on and so forth. So, all right, we're going to switch gears. When we come back, we're talking a little baseball recruiting. Rhino, get the portal music ready. We're going to need it. We'll talk about it when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi, I'm Brian Haydad. If you're not already a subscriber to the Thunder and Lightning podcast, today's a good day to do it, because if you were subscribed yesterday, we had some sort of issue with Apple Podcast, and you got a notification that 600 new podcasts were available. That's not true. They were all old podcasts, but I look, blame Apple. Don't blame me. I didn't do it. Rhino didn't do it. Maybe Robbie Falk. Let's blame Robbie Falk. That'll be fine. But please subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. Five-star reviews only. You can say whatever you want in the comments, but put those five stars on there. We are brought to you by Visit Vicksburg. VisitVicksburg.com. Check out their calendar of events. Then you would know that on Saturday, June 15th, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., the Vicksburg Farmers Market will be open at the corner of Jackson and Washington Street. That is a Mississippi-certified farmers market. For more information, call 601-634-4527, or you can visit www.vicksburg, I'm going to get it right eventually, I promise, vicksburgfarmersmarket.org. That's again, that's Saturday starting at 8 a.m. In Vicksburg. We've been talking for the past couple of weeks about Mississippi State baseball and how they were going to have to reshape their roster going into the 2025 season. That process has begun, and it begins with a trip to the transfer portal. The portal is working overtime here on Thunder and Lightning. It starts, first off, what a tremendous name for a baseball player we've got here. Gehrig Fry, named after Lou Gehrig. Third baseman from North Alabama, 320 batting average last year, 12 home runs, 15 doubles. Obviously with Logan Kohler out of eligibility, third baseman, the hot corner, is a position State needs to do well in, and that is a position State has just struggled. They have struggled. Even when they had highly talented guys, you know, they had Jordan Westberg over there, it didn't work for him over at third. Same with Foskey, it just didn't work for him over at third. So they put him in the middle of the infield, and they're much better. Cam James was not great at third. He had a great run in Omaha, but overall, you know, they've just struggled to have a guy there that could do in the field and at the plate. Last year, Kohler was good at the field in the field, but he struggled at the plate for most of the season. So the hope is that Gehrig Fry. It's a shame Gehrig Fry is not a first baseman. I mean, what are we doing? We're named after Lou Gehrig. Should be a first baseman, but provides a little pop. At North Alabama last year, played against Ole Miss and Mississippi State and was, I believe, 3-for-8 in those games. So 375, obviously a very small sample size, but was able to hit the ball, had a home run against Ole Miss as well. So Gehrig Fry is the first guy. And then Sawyer Reeves comes in, a shortstop from the Citadel. That's a school Chris Lamone is very, very familiar with, his alma mater. Hit 304 last year at the Citadel. So those are the first two additions to this class. Obviously will not be the only two additions to this class. Here's a number that my friend Stefan Krajnik pointed out on Twitter yesterday. You know, striking out was a huge problem for State this year. They had so many at-bats that were unproductive, so many at-bats where they had guys in scoring position and just couldn't move the runner. You know, not even talking about hitting getting a hit and getting on base, just a fly ball out when you needed one or a ground ball out when you needed one. These two guys combined, Frey and Reeves, 48 strikeouts in 397 at-bats. That's a very impressive number for Mississippi State. So we'll see. You know, I always worry a little bit about these mid-major guys. You know, I'd like to see a little bit more, you know, Frey hitting 320, I would feel better if he was hitting 370. I won't lie to you. You know, Reeves hitting 304, I'd feel better if he was hitting 334, something like that. But Frey definitely has some pop in his bat. 27 extra base hits last year. You know, State could definitely, they got to find some power. They got to replace, you know, what, 30, almost 35 home runs between Jordan and Hines. They got to replace Hizak's power. He was at 9 home runs. So they've got some work to do there. Those are the first two guys. As I said, though, not the last two guys for Mississippi State. And, you know, they don't have any pitchers in yet. They've got to really retool that rotation with Steven and Gerangelo both gone. You got to find a couple guys that you feel can come in day one and be Friday night, Saturday night guys for you. That's going to be very tough for Mississippi State. That's going to be something that I don't know. You know, they've got to go out. They still need a first baseman. Hunter Hines has not made the announcement that he's leaving. Basically, everybody that's leaving has done a tweet where they're like, thank you, Starkville, right? You've seen one from Kyle Steven, from Dakota Jordan, from Gerangelo, from Kohler. Haven't seen one from Mershon or Hines. I feel pretty confident that Hines will go. He doesn't have a leverage year to play with. So if he comes back, even if he hits 320 with 20 bombs next year, if he's not a high draft choice, he will get stiffed on the signing bonus. So I just see him going. Mershon still has the leverage year, but if he's a top 10 round draft choice, he'll just go pro. There's just no question about that. So you got to replace first. You got to replace your whole infield, and in all likelihood, 2/3 of your outfield. Bryce Chance, if he were to get drafted high enough, might go. But I think Chance will probably be back. But they got to replace Jordan and Hizak. And then behind the plate, Joe Powell should be back for you. Ross Highfill is going to be a guy to keep an eye on. You know, do they keep him behind the plate coming off of arm surgery? I don't know the answer to that. Is he capable of playing another position? Can you put him out there in the outfield? Can he be like a Luke Hancock and maybe play first for you? I don't know the answer to that. But Highfill, if nothing else, getting his bat back into the lineup will be interesting. There's a lot of smoke for Mississippi State around, you know, State's going to be connected to a lot of guys in the portal because they have a need, and B, Mississippi State's a program that's going to attract some talent. Obviously, the facilities, we all know about that. The state's NIL situation is good as far as baseball goes. It's good as far as all the sports go. But in baseball, they have the funds for the guys that they want to get, by and large. I will say this, though, and then, you can't help but notice that LSU picked up a guy yesterday from Indiana State who hit 23 home runs. Texas A&M has got a guy coming in from Penn who hit 25 home runs. State needs guys like that. They need guys that can put the ball out of the ballpark. Even with Jordan and Hines this year, State was not a great power-hitting team. And they need to be, you need to be over 100 home runs as a team, I think. If you want to consider yourself an elite team, a team that has a chance to go to Omaha, that's where you need to be from a power standpoint. If State could have had the kind of power they had the past two seasons this year, with the pitching that they got this year and the defense that they had this year, we're probably still talking about State playing baseball. But they just didn't have that pop throughout the lineup. I mean, they had a bunch. They said only two guys in double figures. Remember that 2021 team that wins the national championship? I think they had five guys in double figures that year. I'm pretty sure Allen, James, Jordan, Tanner, and I'm missing one. Maybe Cumbest. I'd have to go back and look. But they had power, and this team just lacked that pop. But they also were undisciplined at the plate. I mean, Jordan struck out a ton, Hines struck out a ton, and they just had Larry struck out a ton. They just had a lot of guys that they couldn't move the base runner. So these first two commitments, they look on paper again. It's just on paper because you don't know. You don't ever know how these guys are going to translate up at the SEC level. Sometimes you get an R.J. Yeager, You get a Colton Ledbetter. And then sometimes you get a guy like Logan Kohler, who the transition was tough for him from Memphis to Mississippi State. So I will say this. If those are your first two guys, I feel like you're going to be okay. If those were the last couple of guys, if these are the guys you're like, hey, these are the best two guys in the class, then I would be telling you that, that's going to be tough. But you still got plenty of time. Plenty of time, plenty of room on the roster, so we'll see. Is there going to be a summer road tour for all the players and coaches? I don't know the answer to that. I know Ole Miss is doing that. We talked about it just a little bit ago on Sports Talk Mississippi, the Rebel Road Trip. They did a spring thing for that. I would imagine there's a summer thing. I don't know the answer to that, though, Denny. But I promise if I find out, I'll let you know. Because I know that it's a big deal for Mississippi State fans to be able to get out. I mean, surely they still do the Central Mississippi Extravaganza every year in Jackson? I don't know the answer. Like I said, I don't know. But if I find out, I'll tweet about it, and I'll talk about it on this show for sure when I find out the information. So Mississippi State baseball, that's the thing about this transfer portal era and everything that's gone on with State is that you had a good season, you feel like you had a bounce back season, but then you look at the roster for next year and you're like, oh my gosh, there's more questions than ever. And so Chris Lemonis, and look, that's on Lemonis. It's the high school guys that he's recruited haven't panned out as well as you would like. And you got to go out into the portal and replace those guys. So that's on Lemonis. I feel like, he's off to a good start, but they got a long way to go. I mean, they need another 7, 8, 9 guys to come in from day one. So we'll see what happens. All right, when we come back, a little basketball news to report, plus a little shameless self-promotion from your guy here. We'll talk a little bit about where we're going to be tomorrow. And why you should, if you're in the Starkville area, you should come out and see me. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
One more go around with you here on Thunder and Lightning. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for tuning in on a Wednesday evening. Always appreciate you guys out there You do so much for me, and I really, really appreciate it. We are brought to you by Visit Vicksburg. We want to remind you that the Catfish Row Museum Summer Chef Series starts this Saturday, June 15th, on at 2 o'clock p.m. James Beard, semifinalist and winner of the Food Network's Alex vs. America, Chef Austin Sumrall of White Pillars Restaurant and Bar in Biloxi, will be doing a cooking demonstration at the Catfish Row Museum, 913 Washington Street. For more information, visit catfishrowmuseum.org. We got some basketball news today. The SEC-ACC Challenge announced its matchups for the upcoming season. State, as you recall, last year went to Georgia Tech, so they get a home game this time around. And it'll be a rematch from the first four game that State played two seasons ago against Pitt. So Pitt, the University of Pittsburgh, will head to the Humphrey Coliseum on December the 4th is that game. So we got a pretty good handle here on State's non-conference schedule as far as the first couple of months here go. Looking at it, they start the year off with West Georgia, November 4th. That might be an exhibition game, though. November 12th versus Southeastern Louisiana. They're playing out in Arizona the weekend of, I guess that's the week of the Egg Bowl. Or that the week? That's the week after the Egg Bowl. I think that's right. December 4th against Pitt at home. December 8th against Prairie View at home. They play again in Tupelo. They played last year against North Texas. This year it's against McNeese. Will Wade, American Gangster. Let's go. And then a game that State fans, I think, have been wanting to see for a while, December 21st at Memphis. I guess that'll be in the FedEx Forum, so that'll be a fun. That's a good, solid non-conference. Yeah, McNeese was a tournament team last year. Memphis was a bubble team. I think Pitt was a bubble team. They were in the tournament last year. So you got some, and the Arizona tip-off will probably have some decent teams out there as well. So interesting stuff from MSU baseball, but I like that ACC challenge better than I like the old Big 12 challenge. Just got better options. Got some good games in there, too. Auburn is going to Duke. That'll be a fun game. And I believe Alabama's headed to North Carolina, so that should be a tremendous game. A rematch of the Elite Eight, right? I believe that's correct. So, yeah. Speaking of basketball, tomorrow we are finally here. The Thunder and Lightning Superior Catfish Tour begins tomorrow here in the city of Starkville at OB's, 11 a.m. We will be there. Myself and Robbie Falk, we're going to do a full podcast with Coach Chris Jans joining us, talk a little basketball. I'm interested to see his love of catfish. You know, he's from Iowa. Is there a lot of catfish in Iowa? I don't know the answer to that question. We're going to find out. Charlie Winfield will join us from the Bulldog Initiative. I thought that was a fitting choice. If you go to OB's, they have an option for you to round up your purchases to support the Bulldog Initiative. So I want to talk about that partnership a little bit and how that works. Plus, just get an update on maybe he'll tell us exactly how much money they have this time around. Maybe Robbie and I can get a cut of it. I don't know the answer to that. We'll find out. Plus, we'll have some great guests from OB's, from Superior Catfish joining us, and we'll just have a good old time. So please, if you're in Starkville or if you're going to be in the area for lunch tomorrow, come on out to OB's, get a great po' boy, or get one of my favorite thing on the menu, the catfish platter that's made with Superior Catfish. But tomorrow, 11 a.m. at OB's, we start the Thunder and Lightning Catfish Tour. We got three stops after that. We will be in Boyle, Mississippi next Friday, the 21st, at the Catfish Cabin. We'll be at the Fan and Mart in Flowood on the 27th of June. And then we take a little bit of time off, but then on the 12th of July, we will be in Bay Springs, Mississippi at Big O's. I don't know anything about Big O's, but I like the name, and I bet the catfish is going to be really, really good. So we are really excited about the Thunder and Lightning Catfish Tour brought to you by Superior Catfish. It's one of my favorite things we do every year, and we'll be there. One last thing before we go. It's starting to make the rounds a little bit. We talked about it on Thunder and Lightning, and we talked about it on Sports Talk Mississippi. This Mike Leach to the College Football Hall of Fame thing. Guys, nobody loves the smell of their own you-know-what more than people on a committee. Mike Leach was famous for saying something like that. And Mike Leach was famous for a lot of things, but he said that famously, I guess I should say. And at the end of the day, the guy is .04 away from being eligible. He passed away a month before his team won a bowl game. If he had been on the sidelines and retired that moment, he would be eligible. This is silly, guys. You can't have a Hall of Fame without one of the most influential coaches of all time. And so I am hopeful that these cries that now the national media have picked up don't fall on deaf ears. Mike Leach belongs in the College Football Hall of Fame. Everybody would agree to it. Even people who don't like Mike Leach would begrudgingly say, yes, Hall of Fame coach. You can't have a Hall of Fame without Mike Leach. I hope people are listening, and I hope that it happens very, very soon, because it's a travesty if this continues. And I will continue to wail about it the whole time. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Appreciate you hanging out with me. Tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast, big one. John Talty from 24/7 Sports talks college football, and we have our first opponent preview of the offseason. It's the Ole Miss Rebels. Richard Cross is on the podcast as well. For Rhino down there in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.